Coming to you from Silver Spring, Maryland, welcome to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation on life principles, contemporary issues, and thought-provoking perspectives. Now here's your host, Justin Kim, with Inverse.
Hey everyone, my name is Justin, and you're on Inverse, and in the studio we got Joe and Jonathan and Sebastian. Hey guys.
Hey. Aloha. Greetings.
And we got you guys out there, and whether you're listening by podcast or watching by social media or video or YouTube, I want to say welcome to this Bible study format where we sit around a nice wooden table that's been sandpapered out, and we open our Bibles and we talk about Bible stuff together. And we've been doing this together for, can you believe it, about 8-9 years together, and it's been quite the journey. And I want to thank you guys for coming in, day out. We're not a daily show, but and also all you guys who have been watching, and the fan base and the watcher base and the listener base. You've been so faithful in your comments, and your comments have, we discuss your comments, so they do not go unread.
We screenshot them.
We screenshot
them. Send them to the group chat.
And thank you for your encouragement. And for those of you who don't, God bless you also. We're going to go to our lesson today. We're going to go to the altar life of Jesus part two. Let me ask, we'll have a prayer, but what did we talk about last time? We had altar prayer of the altar life of Jesus part one, where we talked about Jesus' prayer life, and that was in the morning. He got up in the morning, and now we're going to talk about him, not in the morning, but throughout the night. So it should be an interesting study. Let's have Jonathan, if you can pray for us, and we'll get into the scripture.
Sounds good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to pray just like Jesus prayed. We can connect with you. The same connection is available to us as was to him. And so we pray now and ask that you will bless this discussion, this Bible study, all of us here and those watching and listening as well. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. Amen. We are in Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Let's see, verse 12. And Sebastian, can you read from verse 12 to verse 16?
Sure. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases, as well as those who were tormented with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all.
Okay, thanks, Braxton. And in verse 20 onwards, it talks about, now there's the Beatitudes, kind of Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. And we'll talk about that too. But Jonathan, maybe you can kind of, we're getting cracking in the beginning of this lesson, and kind of give us what have we talked about in the past, and kind of just really brief, just maybe
sure.
Like, you know, 2 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, you know.
2 seconds, back to the altar. Well, the theme of this our arc, as you call it, is back to the altar. We are talking about what it means to have a worship experience with God, individually, corporately, but really focusing more on the individual side of that continuous connection, that time we take with God in our devotional time. What does it look like? What does it mean? What are the activities you do? How do they relate to what's going on inside of you? Mm-hmm. Those kind of dynamics. And then also talking about, you know, is there a right or wrong way to worship? What is, you know, worshiping in spirit and truth? We discussed the story of John 4. I really enjoyed that. And yeah, it's been a great study so far, I would say. And I love when we talk about Jesus's life, because, you know, you can look at all these verses and stories from the Bible, but Jesus, he's the great example, right? He's the capital G great example, and capital E.
Capital
so,
G?
Great.
Okay.
Example.
Oh, okay.
You know,
he's like capital J.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool.
But so, as the Son of God, he came to exemplify what a life of faith looks like to us.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have anything that we did not have. He had the Holy Spirit available. He had prayer and the Bible study available. We have the same things available. Yeah. What did Jesus do?
Yeah.
That's what I want to look at when it comes to
learning.
Well,
this is great. This is my, you just went right into my first question. My first question is, and we'll get into the text, but as we talk about Jesus, last week we looked at Mark chapter 1, verse 35. Jesus got up a great while before day, went to a solitary place. Mm-hmm. What's the degree of which we are followers of Jesus? We are Christians. We emulate our great Lord and Master. What's the balance? What's the line where, because he did it, we should do it? But at a certain level, he's Jesus. So just because he did it doesn't mean that we should do everything that he does, because we can't. But then he is we should emulate him. So everything he did, we should do, right? So how do we balance those two things out? He stayed up all night, so we should stay up all night. But then, but he didn't. He slept, and we, you know, how do we? Some people may wrestle with those two poles, Joe.
Well, he is our example in all things.
Yes.
So I don't know that we're able to look at Jesus and say, well, this part we don't have to follow.
Okay.
I think the example is that he went to God in prayer. He depended on God. Mm. Now, when I come up in judgment, I don't get my pass into heaven based on how many all nights in prayer I spent, or how many minutes I spend in devotion. That's not what's being measured. What's being measured is our connection with God, our dependence on him. Mm-hmm. And there are times when that calls for all-night prayer or late-night prayer or early morning prayer. Mm-hmm. It's not that either one of those is a requirement, but that we're willing to go there when we need that connection with God or when there's a crisis. And by the way, these verses, Jesus is in crisis. Mm-hmm. I guess Sebastian left, you know, one of the good ones for me, verse 11. But this is those around Jesus. They were filled with rage and discuss with one another what they might do to Jesus. Mm-hmm. These are the influential people, the teachers, those in authority, and they are determined to destroy Jesus professionally, his public image, and eventually his life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is withdrawing to the mountain for a very good reason. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think there's also the dynamic, right, to Joe's point, that separating what we follow from Jesus, I think, is really the true dichotomy or bifurcation, right, for Justin's word, is the fact that there's some things that we follow him in principle and there's some things that we follow him in practice. Mm. And so to me, when you think about Jesus going to the cross, we're not going to lay down our lives, and that's not everybody's call to do that, right? We see Paul was beheaded. We see that individuals lived a very long time.
Good point.
And so there's some things we follow Jesus in principle. We all don't need 12 disciples. We all don't need to quit our jobs at 30 and then start a public ministry.
And die at 33.
Et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I think that looking at the principles behind certain things and the practices, and when we're talking about prayer, and even here, we're dealing with when he has a major decision, again, we see the principle and the practice together in this story. He's reckoning, I got to call 12, but I need God's guidance and I'm depending upon him. Mm-hmm. It's principle, but practice-wise means that may mean I need to pray all night because I haven't gotten clarity from God.
That's very helpful.
And I don't think that Jesus was like, well, I'm going to go pray now and I'm going to pray all night. I think he just went to pray and it took all night. So it's not like, oh, you got to pray for 8 hours if you have a really difficult situation, or like, there's no set time. You pray and you pray as long as you need to.
Right.
I remember I had this wristband once and it said P-U-S-H, push, and it meant pray until something happens, right?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how theologically correct that is, but there is a principle behind it, I think, that is true, that we are supposed to engage with God and see him work in our lives and on our behalf. But it's not that you have, there's no perfect formula for this, or like, oh, you know, I got to pray at least 3 hours because Martin Luther prayed 3 hours, or it's never wrong to pray a lot, but only if it makes sense, if the prayer time is filled with something. You don't pray just for prayer's sake. You pray because there is a reason, because you want to connect with God. You want him to speak to you. You want to calm, whatever you need. So I think Jesus went into prayer. And it happened to be all night because it was a very intense time. He was about to choose his disciples, all that stuff. Very very appropriate.
Let's look at this. Is good. Let's look at the conditions of why he's spending prayer in all throughout the night. We know that he prayed a lot. He prayed often, but in this instance, he's praying the length of it is emphasized. Joe, I appreciate verse 11 there. Didn't know that context. So there are threats on his life in the background. Jonathan, I appreciate he's choosing now his 12 disciples who are now going to start this foundation. Jesus movement. Yeah. For the next thousands of years. What else? Like I guess the question, and then he's also going to talk about the Sermon on the Mount. So this is sermon preparation also. So you got threat, choosing new leadership, sermon preparation.
He's got some reasons.
So you got some reasons.
Yeah.
And you also have the needs, right? At the end, when you get to verses 18 and 19, you have a whole multitude tormented. So he's also praying for power to be impactful in the lives of these individuals that he knows are coming.
So kind of an average day for Jesus. Yeah. I guess the question is like, and I'm just, and I know, like, hey, we know this and we study this, and I don't know about you guys, but how many of you have been inspired to pray all night, right? And I remember, like, man, I want to pray all night, like I want to be like Jesus, and you know, how many you guys are looking at me like this has never happened to you?
No, I've definitely tried. So for sure,
you pray. I remember I'm like, I'm pouring my heart out. I'm like, you know, oh man, this got to be an hour. I look at my watch, it's like only like 3 minutes have passed. I'm like, man, I got 23 hours and 57 more minutes to go. And it was, you know, it's a very metric oriented, just very, you know, mechanical way of thinking of it. But what do you pray during all night? Like let's discuss a little bit about that.
This is really interesting because I've had both good and bad experiences with this. I've done your experience where you're like, guys, we're going to have all night prayer meeting, right? We're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. And then you're like, 2 a.m. and people are like drifting and you know,
how many of them are praying or how many of them are sleeping?
Right,
so always you know, my human
and we're repeating
dumb,
the same words,
critical man.
Right, we're repeating
vain
the same
repetitions.
Words.
Jesus said, "Don't do," but then
But on a positive level, when I used to do canvassing, going door to door selling Christian books,
persecution time.
I remember I had a situation with a woman who was really interested. We were wrestling back and forth.
Yeah.
And then ultimately, after about 3 hours in her home, she decided not to get the books. Okay. I was like, really, it was like 10:30 at night. I was really emotionally impacted.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, my heart was just really heavy with the fact, like, man, this could have been her opportunity, right, to receive the truth. And she just refused it, right? And so as I was trying to go to sleep, I couldn't get it off my mind. Mm. So then I just started to pray. And I ended up praying all night.
Mm.
And I was realizing two things in that moment was, number one, I felt I was insufficient to meet whatever demands were there that could have pierced through whatever her objections were, her concerns. So I felt like, Lord, there's an insufficiency. Mm-hmm. At the same token, I was praying for the softening of hearts and wisdom and also a burden for souls.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're going out all day doing work and serving people and meeting people in their conditions and needs, all of a sudden, the busyness of Jesus' life, as we talked about in the last episode, as well as here, and all the things we just delineated, that will give you plenty of substance to pray about all night. And I ended up praying up all night. And literally, that was the fulcrum of my whole experience doing that door to door. The first 4 weeks, I may have sold like two things of books. And after that all night prayer session, all of a sudden, I sold every single day for the next 6 weeks, every single day. And to me, it was the difference was not so much that the prayer was a magic wand, but it was a change in me, my burden for souls, my willingness, and how I approached each person that ended up coming before me.
Yeah.
So to me, that was a positive one, but it was more so not because I wanted to sell books the rest of the summer, but it was like I felt insufficient and I needed that burden.
In a way, the prayer time kind of calibrates you tuning you into like the frequency of God. And And I think what happened there, and I can testify to the same thing, when you spent that time with God, and he changes the way you think, he melts your pride, you become willing to surrender everything.
Yes,
you have a completely different attitude towards ministry, the things you do. He's opening up the portals of your heart to utilize you through the Spirit in your everyday activities.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think Jesus had a pride problem or anything like that. He was not a sinner.
No.
Right.
But still, he did limit himself when he came to earth. He took on human flesh, and he said, you know, he only utilized you know, divine powers when the fathers indicated. He said, whatever the father says, I will do, you know? Mm-hmm. And so he limited himself as an example for us. And as he engaged in that way, he needed prayer just like we need it. But his ministry, of course, as the Son of God, as God on earth, in human flesh, he needed that constant connection to the Father.
Sure.
Now, we need that too. Let's be real. We need it too. But I don't think that we have the... We're not the Messiah, okay? So there is a difference, I think, in terms of our ministry and Jesus' ministry.
But I think we also do things to not feel that need, right? Yeah. Like Jesus had that need in ministry and service, and I think for us, we do everything to be comfortable so we don't feel that need.
So you guys are like representing two things, and I get it. Like, hey, there's people who don't get that need. We need that need. And then, hey, we need pray, right? Mm-hmm. But I guess I want to talk about, at least in verse 12, it says he continued all night in prayer. Yeah, we're not the Messiah, but do we need to pray all night? I mean, everything that you said, I can say amen to that,
right.
But why not? Why not 6 hours? Why not 5 hours? Is it a matter? And maybe I know I'm playing facetious here, but like, is the length? Why the length?
I mean, I think it goes back to it depends on the situation. So, like for Jesus, he had a lot of issues going on. As you mentioned, they were persecuting him. He was about to select the equivalent of the 12 tribes of Israel now, and for the Christian movement. The 12 disciples, the foundation
of his
church.
So Jesus isn't doing this all the time. This is just this instance.
Correct.
I mean, we don't know for sure. But
I'm sure there's other times.
I'm sure he prayed a lot.
But this isn't a reoccurring thing.
Jesus sleep. Sometimes.
He did sleep.
For sure. On the boat.
I mean, maybe that's why he slept on the boat and he couldn't wake him up because he's sleeping.
But I also think, Justin, to your point, is I think also we're approaching, even in the question, like, does it have to be all night?
Yeah.
When you think about times where you're courting your wife, right? Like when you spend long periods of time together, I think we look at prayer simply as an activity of spiritual exercise, the way you would think of going to the gym. Mm-hmm. And it's like, dude, I can't work out for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. Like that's how we look at prayer. Mm-hmm. But if we look at it relationally, he's continuing in prayer all night, the Bible says in verse 12, to God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now there's the relational component.
Good point.
That I believe in that time that I talked about praying all night, I didn't feel tired.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. In fact, it was being in his presence was giving me energy.
Yes.
I felt more relaxed. I felt less burdened. It was like I was being relieved. I was being healed. It was almost like a spiritual massage in a sense that is relieving all this tension. And I feel like for Jesus, communing with his Father was giving him life. It was giving him strength.
Yes.
And I think continuing all night wasn't so much about, like you said, earning some sort of power or access or you know, accomplishing a task, as much as it was restoring him for what God was calling him to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a scripture that actually acknowledges the distinction between our experience and Jesus. Hebrews talks about it in Hebrews 12 and verse 4. It's a short little verse. He's talking about Jesus.
12,
yeah, Hebrews 12 and verse 4. He's been talking about we're looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. But he says in Hebrews 12 and verse 4, you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Mm. You know, Jesus literally sweated blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, fighting against sin. I've never sweated blood fighting against sin, and most people don't.
Mm.
But those who are put in more extreme situations in the furnace, in the crucible, go farther, and we don't all face what Jesus faced.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, your question, Justin, makes me feel a little bit guilty over here as I'm thinking about my own experience. And I remember at one point in my life, I was at a crossroads. I was going into the second year of college. I had applied to go to Southern Adventist University and to study theology and prepare for the ministry, but I was in a financial shortfall and I didn't have the money to begin classes that were starting in 4 weeks. And I remember one night while the rest of my family was sleeping, I sneaked out of the house and I went out into the field in the middle of the night, and we were out in the mountains and the stars were just beautiful. And so I just told the Lord, I said, you know, if you want me to prepare for ministry, you've got to provide the money within the next couple of weeks. Otherwise, I'm going to go back to community college and I'm going to study business, and that's fine.
Mm.
And my life is in your hands. What you want me to do is up to you. And maybe I should have prayed all night, but I, after spending however long, I don't remember how long it was, I wasn't timing it.
Right.
But I spent considerable time out there. I surrendered my life to God, and then I had peace. Mm-hmm. And I went back to my house and I slept very well. Mm. And that week, my parents, who had had a tractor that was they were trying to sell for a month, had been on the market for a month, no offers. It sold, and my parents are business owners. It was a tight year, but then I was able to pay, you know, the deposit, and I paid for the rest of theology, and that changed the course of my life because mm-hmm. the Lord knew I needed to go there to prepare for ministry, mm-hmm. and so I had peace and I slept well. But there was something powerful about walking away from the home in the middle of the night, and going out into this field and looking up at the stars and thinking, man, are these the same stars that Abraham prayed under? Yeah, are these the same stars Jesus prayed under? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when I read my Bible, I'm like, it feels like they had a really fast internet connection. Is that available to me? Mm-hmm. Like, is heaven listening to me too?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, but I look back and God answered that prayer, and he has for me so many other times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and beautiful. Even if I haven't spent a whole night in prayer in my life, I've spent many nights with little sleep.
Yeah.
But the Lord may call for that. You know, I may have some things in my future that are going to be much more strenuous than what I've faced yet. Mm-hmm. And you know, Hebrews is not condemning those who have not yet strived unto bloodshed. Mm-hmm. It's acknowledging that. Mm-hmm. But at least acknowledge your Savior for him going farther than you have yet.
Mm-hmm. In our discussion, Jonathan, I guess the questions are stemming from this angle. We've been looking at form, and we've been looking at sincerity, and we've been looking at not formality, but form. Remember that discussion? I don't know. I don't know who was around on the episode, but we did. You remember?
I remember.
Okay. Our day and age, we emphasize more the sincerity, the heart, the intention. But we also say, hey, the form is important too, right? And the two, there's a nexus between the two, and we see both are emphasized equally in Scripture. It's not all form; it reverts to formality, but it's also not all sincerity, because you can lose the habit of it or the structure of it.
Yep.
And I guess the form of it is Jesus prayed all night. Mm-hmm. And my takeaway here I'm getting is that the need is what dictated the length.
Yes.
But too often, sometimes for fashion or practice or for the fun of it or for the activity of it, like, hey, let's pray all night, right? Mm-hmm. Well, why? Well, because, you know, and sometimes the length is often associated with more spirituality, more power, or more whatever. But I really appreciate what you're saying. It's whether you prayed for a minute or prayed all night, it's the need, and then the time is an effervescent answer.
That's right.
It's not really even a factor.
No.
Yeah.
And I like what you pointed out earlier, Sebastian. There is the need, but also he prayed in verse 12, like he spent all night in prayer to God. And the relational aspect is something that I really appreciate. I've had many nights where I wake up and I'm like, you know, I could pop in some earphones and listen to music, or I could, you know, scroll or just lay there. But almost every time I do have that situation where I wake up, not because of my kids, I do go into prayer. And it's not necessarily something where I'm like, I'm praying for a specific thing. It's just I'm talking to God. And I know he's fully aware of all my thoughts and the randomness in my mind. But it's there's something special as you walk with Jesus, as you walk with the Lord, to just commune with him, talk with him. And it's not just at night. Even like sometimes when I drive, I just talk to Jesus. And it's not talking to myself. I'm talking to him and I'm sharing with him about my life. And I believe even though he's aware of all things, he appreciates that. He wants relationship. It's like a father who understands what the kid's going through, but he still wants to hear it from them. And so there's definitely a place for praying for a certain need, interceding for other people. There's a spiritual warfare. We had a whole, you know, season on that. And that's all true. And that we need to engage in that. And Jesus was doing that. He was wrestling with that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's the aspect of just a relationship, of just having a conversation with your, you know, Savior and your best friend, hopefully. That is something we... especially those of us who are Christians who love doctrine and the Bible study and all these things, we sometimes miss we that relational aspect, or maybe an emphasis on it. We immediately go to like, oh, interceding, or immediately go to like, oh, this issue and
an
that
idea.
Issue.
Yeah.
And again, all these things are part of prayer, But the relational aspect, I think Jesus, this was his father. Like, this is the one he was connected to eternity.
I would agree with all of that. Yeah. But I guess I'm just talking about all night.
Yes.
Right? Hey, let's talk to God all day.
Yeah, I mean, right. Paul says,
but then all day and all,
pray without ceasing.
And I'm into the relationship thing, but I mean, I'm talking to my wife, and some point, my wife was like, hey, let's go to bed.
Correct.
Stop talking.
And I think
let's go to bed.
To Justin's point as well, you know, the pressure element.
I'm not saying we shouldn't pray, but I'm analyzing this one.
Yes, harder. Yes, yes.
Yeah, I think I see them both coming together, as you mentioned the word nexus, right? There, to me, there is a cross between that relational and the pressure element.
Okay.
Because I know for myself, not to the level of striving unto blood, but I know what it's like to be in situations of great pressure and to feel like you need to talk to God. And sometimes you don't even have the words.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's where I think the nexus of the relationship is.
I think that's what I'm getting at. Like, I look at here in the study, and you look at the people who prayed all night.
Yeah.
And this all-night prayer outside of Jesus was not a regular practice, but you look at Jacob, he's getting killed.
Facing his brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
David was being persecuted by Saul. So, like, the enormity of the pressure is like, man, I might die. So, hey, forget sleep, man. I gotta, God is my only refuge.
Yes.
But you post the other... you contrast that with, hey guys, we got nothing to do this weekend. Let's just pray all day, right?
Mm-hmm,
and then
right.
all night, and let's put some pillows out and make it a practice. Like,
right.
I think if anything, it kind of, it's not meant to be, but it makes it a formalistic practice.
That's right.
And yet, I don't think it's in vain. Like, I'm not saying just do it because when you need to do it, but it was like, hey, let's do it. You're praying. What's wrong with praying? Now, if the prayer itself becomes just like weird and you're falling asleep and all that, okay, then just go to sleep. But if it's, I think there's nothing wrong with praying, whatever reason you have, because you're connecting with God, right? Again, unless it's motivated by the wrong motivations. I don't see, like, I'm not the person who will probably suggest an all-night prayer, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I will suggest prayer. And if it takes all night, sure. And if someone says, hey, let's do all-night prayer, I'm like, you know what? Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Let's just not miss, as we're talking about whether we need to go all night or not, that the point, though, is that Jesus had unrushed time with God.
Mm-hmm.
And too many of us do rush our prayers. So let's not. That's what I feel convicted about in this story.
Yeah, yeah.
And
For sure.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you all we're just having this open discussion on prayer, and we'd love to hear your thoughts in the comments and in your reactions. What do you think? Should we pray all night? Should we pray? I think the conviction of all of us is that we need to pray more.
Mm-hmm.
How much more that is, when that is, that's between your relationship and the Lord. But we need more power, more hope, more strength. And as we follow the footsteps of the Lord Jesus, may He convict us on that point. Hopefully this has been a blessing to you. I know for me, this has been... a convicting point. Like, I need to come back to the altar and say, Lord, I lift up to my ministry, Inverse, all of you, my family, and it may take all night for that to happen. Let us know on your comments. We'll see you here next week as we look at the altar and God's word. God bless you guys.
You've been listening to Inverse, a Bible-based conversation with Kelly Williams, Israel Ramos, Jonathan Walter, Sebastian Braxton, Siku Dako, and your host, Justin Kim. Inverse is brought to you by the Hope Channel, television that changes lives. For this and more inspiring episodes, visit inverse.hopetv.org. Find us on social media, #InverseBible. Until next time, this is Inverse.